Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
President Biden, he's doing something smart politically, but will it actually make a difference in terms of the quality of life in America, the quality of public safety? Yes, he is finally trying to make a holistic, as he puts it, response to the surge in crime, which is just appalling. And he's doing that by turning to Mayor Eric Adams, the new mayor of New York City, former police lieutenant, who has impressed, I think, the whole country with his response to the fallen officers and to the general air of crisis. The president is unequivocally opposed to racial profiling in policing, the White House official said, as the president is getting ready for a big, high-profile meeting with Eric Adams. But he can't avoid, when going to an occasion like this, stepping into a pothole with a stupid, and truly, it's so disappointing because, look, it's so important that we do something about crime, and this is beyond Republicans and Democrats. This is about Americans. This is about the way we live. When you read stories about the two officers, 127, 122, who were killed in New York City, about the kind of killings that take place every single day all over the country, of police officers and of innocent citizens. It is about time. And instead, President Biden is talking about basically getting rid of the Second Amendment. This is not going to help Democrats win some of their embattled seats where they're going to lose the Congress. 1-800-955-1776. If somebody actually think it's a great idea to talk about undoing the Second Amendment, you can give us a call. We're also later today going to be speaking about another violent or potentially violent crisis that President Biden faces, this one in Ukraine. We're going to be talking with Ralph Peters, who has spent a great deal of his life taking a look at the Russian threat. And it is a Russian threat. It's always been a Russian threat that started way before even the Cold War. Russia's an imperialist country. And they now threaten to take over a number of countries that they have dominated in the past. Does the United States have a stake in this? We will be talking to Colonel Peters, who was an Army intelligence officer for years, also a best-selling novelist. And then we're also going to be talking about another threat to the United States, because that's part of what the job of the government is, above everything, is to keep us safe, is to help deal with threats. And yes, those threats include the threat of the pandemic. Now, there's a very prominent, very respected conservative columnist, and I like his work a lot. In fact, he's a frequent guest on this show, Daniel Henninger. He has a piece now saying that it's time that we just basically declared victory over COVID-19, that there is no more pandemic emergency. Got rid of Dr. Fauci and basically told Americans, and this is something I think he anticipates that Biden would do on his State of the Union address coming up in March, that the pandemic was over. Is that helpful? Is that the right policy? Or are there certain things where we need to keep our focus on what the pandemic is and what it means? And we're also going to be speaking not just about the pandemic, but about the fiscal crisis, a $30 trillion deficit. So what do you do about it, and why should you care about it, or should you accept rather the soothing words of some Democratic-leaning economists who say, well, you know what, the deficit doesn't matter, the debt doesn't matter. as long as the interest rates stay down. But guess what? Now the interest rates are going up. We'll talk about that with Stephen Moore, author of the book Trumponomics and a former prominent economic policy advisor to President Trump. 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. The White House says that the administration views this trip to Eric Adams as a reflection of how Biden wants to tackle the issue of crime, said a White House official. Aides see Adams' focus as similar to Biden's holistic approach. The president, it says, believes in a multi-pronged strategy: remove violent offenders from the streets. Well, that's something that is long overdue. Invest in the community resources like community violence intervention and prevention, all while supporting law enforcement. Okay, supporting law enforcement is great. Trying to remove violent offenders from the streets, great. But investing in community resources like community violence intervention and prevention. You remember when Bill Clinton was talking about that stuff, and he was talking about midnight basketball as a basic cure for crime and for criminal activity and for gangs. If we only had enough midnight basketball courts open, that would bring down the crime rate. And I remember the late Rush Limbaugh made a great deal of fun of that with Bill Clinton. The idea that community violence intervention has worked anywhere. We're going to be speaking later this week. We'll ask Heather McDonald about that, who writes about the real problem today in the Wall Street Journal, and we'll get to that as well. Okay, first off, there's this from NBC News acknowledging that this is not a made-up problem. It's very, very real. It's very, very terrible. It could be the most gripping and critical problem that the nation faces right now. Clip 9.
New numbers this week show the nation's most populated city battling a brutal crime wave. The NYPD's latest data shows crime is up 38% overall in New York City this year, with shootings up 32%, transit crime up 70%, and car thefts jumping a staggering 93%. In January, 25 police officers were shot nationwide, 5 in New York City alone, including 2 fatally.
I love you, baby bro, and I will always miss you.
One of them, Officer Wilbert Mora, was laid to rest Wednesday. He was killed alongside his partner, Officer Jason Rivera, while responding to a domestic violence call.
An ocean of officers shouldn't have to line streets for the second time in 5 days to mourn the appalling loss of a 27-year-old son and brother.
And this is appalling. If 25 police officers killed in the line of duty so far this year, there's another number by way of comparison, and it's very important. Of course, people are right to be concerned whenever a civilian is killed in an unarmed situation that is sometimes tough to explain. It's a terrible thing. But the idea that this is a wave of 25 police officers so far this year. All of last year, not just this year. You know how many black civilians who were unarmed? This is according to the very liberal Washington Post. Actually were killed in fatal police encounters. There were 4. Something is terribly, terribly wrong when that terrible situation, and of course there's no situation, excuse for anyone to be killed needlessly, when that situation gets so much more attention and it is so much more rare, tragically, than the skyrocketing race of violence against police, which is part of the problem. Will Biden touch on it, or will he go back to state legislatures and Congress blocking gun legislation? Is that the key component here? We will get to that and to more on the Michael Medved Show.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Even for Americans who've been successful in dodging the coronavirus so far, there's still a problem of pain. There are 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to overexertion or exercise or just aging or the effects of everyday living, and Relief Factor can help. It helps exercise-related pain or general muscle aches and pains, and it certainly does for me. There are four key ingredients. Each one approaches the body's natural anti-inflammatory response function from different metabolic pathways. The 3-week quick start can show you how it works. It's just $19.95, 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee a day, much less for pain relief. Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain, the whole world to gain.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hey, Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're going to win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
It is outrageous what you are saying.
The Michael Medved Show.
This is outrageous.
And on the Michael Medved Show, talking about President Joe Biden visiting New York City today, I don't suspect he took the train, though that's a pretty easy train ride. That's the Acela corridor. No, I'm sure, saving time, he took Marine One, then Air Force One, and then Marine One. He got there. In any event, he got there today and focused a great deal on guns, because the idea, which again has not been proven statistically or procedurally or ever, the idea that basically reducing the number of guns and concentrating on guns is the way to reduce crime has never particularly worked. It's never been proven, in fact. And I think it's a little bit too simplistic to say more guns, less crime, but that is very often the case. And it's one of those situations where when you have such clear problems with the elimination of bail, turning criminals loose, not prosecuting certain crimes, it increases the violent crime rate when you decide you're not going to go after and arrest people for nonviolent crimes like shoplifting. It all contributes. But instead of talking about that, this is what the President of the United States sounded like with his focus, and it's appropriate to focus on crime, but here's what he had to say. Clip 16.
This doesn't violate anybody's Second Amendment right. There's no violation of a Second Amendment right. We talk like there's no amendment that's absolute. When the amendment was passed, it didn't say anybody can own a gun and any kind of gun and any kind of weapon. You couldn't buy a cannon and when this amendment was passed. And so no reason why you should be able to buy certain assault weapons. But that's another issue.
Okay, it is another issue. And then there is this that he also had to say, which is also deeply misleading and tends to blame this problem on his Republican opponents. This is the president, clip 17.
Every day in this country, 316 people are shot, 106 are killed, and 6 NYPD officers have been victims of gun violence so far just this year. The same in the town north of me, Philadelphia, and my much smaller town of Wilmington, Delaware, Washington, D.C. 64 children injured by gun violence so far this year, 26 killed. It's enough. Enough is enough, because we know we can do things about this, but for the resistance we're getting from some sectors of the government and the Congress and the state legislatures and the organizational structures out there.
Okay. What resistance? To what? The overwhelming consensus of people who've looked at this is correct, that the problem simply is that there are too many people, like the killer who killed the two cops who they just did another huge funeral for the second one. They were coming out in the middle of the night, and there was this killer who was mentally ill, which is a very big part of the problem, and who had a handgun that he apparently had helped to modify, and just came out firing at these two police officers. Now, do I agree that somebody with that kind of record, with a history of mental illness and violence and a felonious record, that someone like that should never, never have access to a gun? Of course I do. They've also come up with information about how the somebody on the street sold an illegal gun to the hostage taker in that hostage situation at the synagogue in Coffeyville, Texas, a couple of weeks ago. And of course someone like that should never get... I mean, first of all, he's not even a U.S. resident. He's a visitor. And do I think it's appropriate to prevent people who are visiting the United States from coming here to buy guns? Yes, it's totally appropriate to ban that. And I think it is in most states. And however, the problem here is enforcing those rules. The problem isn't the Second Amendment and isn't the right of homeowners, for instance. And that's basically in the famous Heller case, saying, yes, the Second Amendment does grant a right to keep and bear arms, just as the words say. That what Scalia talks about there specifically were attempts in Washington, D.C., which were overturned by the Supreme Court, to prevent law-abiding, non-criminal records, no mental illness record, to prevent people like that from owning a gun for their own protection at home. It's not right. It's not what the Constitution had in mind. And by the way, the Constitution also did not have in mind, and it's one of those things that people are, thank God, defending a little bit less on the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment wasn't there to try to equip the public with a means to resist the government. The Second Amendment was there to help people participate in their own safety and in their own well-being. And here is a representative in New York, Richie Torres, who's a congressman from New York, at backing Mayor Adams and slamming his fellow Democrats who were still making an advocation case that somehow we will all be safer if we defund the police. This is clip three.
I agree with the mayor. The defund police movement is dead in New York City, and good riddance. And any elected official who's advocating for the abolition or even the defunding of police is out of touch with reality and should not be taken seriously.
Amen. And that's one of the reasons that Eric Adams won in such a landslide. It was one of his main opponents was in favor of cutting $1 billion from police budgets in New York. Well, they voted against it. And in Portland, a business owner is fed up with the failure of his city's Democrat leaders to address this issue. This is clip six.
Lonnie Thompson tells us his son was at the car restoration shop when someone broke in early Friday morning.
I got a phone call. Somebody was breaking in the shop. I hopped in my truck. I headed down a couple of minutes before I got here. I got a call that he shot someone.
He says his son, protecting their business, shot the intruder. Today, his frustration with Portland and state leadership is off the charts.
Politicians ain't doing nothing. You got Wheeler, you got Kate Brown, you got Joe Hardesty. They're all hiding in a corner. They physically do not want to address this problem.
He's talking about the mayor of Portland and the governor, Kate Brown. And again, it's not just them. There is a difficulty, and there is more about that problem, but surely that problem can be addressed without making the national debt even more critical. $30 trillion. On this issue alone, the Republicans can win this upcoming election and maybe help to save America. We'll get to that with Steve Moore coming up.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg. A winter storm hitting a big portion of the country is forcing thousands of flight cancellations. Both Dallas airports are experiencing a ton of cancellations due to snow and ice, with Love Field Airport canceling 85% of the flights originating from there so far. More than 4,600 flights within, into, or out of the United States have been called off so far today. The top Republican in the House says ongoing COVID restrictions have caused real damage in the United States.
What does it have an effect on these shutdowns? How many people miss the cancer screening, the mental health, the suicides for young children?
Minority Leader from California, Kevin McCarthy, saying pandemic lockdowns should be lifted. He also criticized ongoing vaccine and mask mandates. This is USA Radio News.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's not always a good thing when you're setting records. If you're Tom Brady, sure. Though we won't be setting any more records. Though who knows what his future endeavors might be. But setting a record of $30 trillion in national debt. Now, this is not the deficit. This is the debt. This is what we owe overall, which goes up and up and up and up. And it's a legitimate issue. And somebody who emphatically believes that and tried to advise the prior president in a way that the debt would not continue to pile higher and higher and higher is Steve Moore. And Stephen Moore is an author. He is a best-selling author of the book Trumponomics. He was an advisor to President Trump who helped shape the campaign, the economic platform that he campaigned on successfully in 2016. And he is a regular columnist now for the Washington Examiner and it works for various organizations trying to keep America's economy, one hopes, revived and vital. Steve, why should ordinary Americans care about a deficit of $30 trillion? Why does that matter?
Well, hello, Michael. Great to be with you again. By the way, I have a new book out that literally just came out a week ago. And the title is very apropos to what we're talking about. The title of the book is called Gubzilla, How the Relentless Growth of Government is Devouring Our Economy. And actually, the cover photo is a picture of Godzilla coming out of the Capitol. And we have a crisis on our hand. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows this. I mean, I don't care if you're liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican, what's going on in Washington. You mentioned the $30 trillion of debt. And I should add, I should just note that that's about $22 trillion of debt that's, quote, held by the public. That is to say that is held by either Americans or foreigners. And then there's about $6 or $7 trillion of that $30 trillion is actually deficits in the that is owed to the Social Security and Medicare Trust Fund. That's basically been raided from those funds. So anybody who thinks your lockbox is safe in Social Security and Medicare, that the government's stolen $6 to $7 trillion out of those funds. So is this a crisis? Of course, the answer is yes. $30 trillion, and incidentally, Michael. That debt number, which is so, immoral, I'll use the word immoral, it has risen by $6 to $7 trillion just in the last 2 years.
And is that $6 to $7 trillion in the last 2 years, which is astonishing enough? Some kind of relationship, causal relationship, isn't there between the level of debt and the level of inflation?
Yes. Yes. It's, you know, what's happening now, just so people understand, is that so the government is massively spending multi-trillions of dollars of money, right? And that's authorized by Congress. And then the Treasury, since we're not taking in that much money in revenues, tax revenues, the Treasury has to issue debt. That's bonds, right? And so then the government is issuing the $6 to $7 trillion of bonds. And then who buys the bonds? Well, what's happening now, and this is almost unprecedented in American history, is that the Federal Reserve Bank is buying the bonds. Now, then the question becomes, well, where does the Federal Reserve Bank where do you think the Federal Reserve gets the money to buy the bonds, Michael?
They get them ultimately from the taxpayer.
Well, yeah, ultimately, but they print money.
Yeah.
I mean, they're essentially printing dollars, and then they're using those dollars that they're printing to purchase the debt, okay? Now, what I just described to you, I hope people are in shock over this, because this is what third world countries do. Right, this is what Argentina and Venezuela and Mexico and Bolivia and Zimbabwe do when they get into a debt crisis. They print money. They cheapen the value of their currency. And so this, you know, this is a long-winded answer to your question, Michael, but it's important for people to be able to connect the dots here. So when the government just prints money to finance the debt, what is the result of that? Inflation. I mean, it's as plain as the nose on your and my face. So it's obvious this is going to happen. It's laughable when I still hear Joe Biden say in speeches, this is going to be free. It's not going to cost anybody anything. And then he says, he even says laughably, if you want to reduce the inflation rate, let's spend and borrow $2, 3, 4 trillion more money. I mean, he says that with a straight face, Michael.
No, it's an extraordinary thing, and I'm thinking about this, of course, goes back to sort of the ancient history of the 1890s and early 20th century, when there were left-wingers at the time, like William Jennings Bryan, who thought that the way to help poor people was to make the money that they owed worth less. But that means inflation for everybody. That for people who have saved money, then that money isn't worth what you thought it was as you were saving it. What could possibly be done? Let's say the Republicans do win the smashing win in the House of Representatives and they take over the Senate, as many people believe that Republicans will. Can they do anything to curb the accumulation of debt and begin turning it around the other way and maybe paying it off?
Well, that's a complicated question. I mean, I am a Republican, but I have to be honest with you and your listeners. I mean, this debt is the responsibility of both parties,
Of course.
Now, Biden is a champion borrower. I've never seen anything like this. I mean, to take the debt up the way he has, to continue to promote these trillions and trillions of dollars of spending is just, it is incomprehensible. It's the most dangerous thing I've seen in our country. And again, these numbers are so large, but just take the $7 trillion we've increased our debt by, you know, since COVID hit. That's more money than we spent to finance the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War One, World War Two, the Interstate Highway System, the Intercontinental Rail System, and the moon landing. So the
combined
money is gigantic. And so I guess the answer to your question is no, the politicians aren't going to do anything about this. We have to, we as voters and citizens have to do something about it. We have to have a kind of revolt, a peaceful revolt against all of this. I hate to tell you this, folks, but politicians love to play Santa Claus, and that's what they've been doing for the last several years.
Well, there's no doubt, and I remember there was even a fight at one point where President Trump threatened to veto one of those relief bills during COVID because he didn't think the Republicans and Democrats were providing enough in terms of relief. And right now, In terms of the pandemic dragging on and on, does it have to waste to get anything serious under control? I know that Newt Gingrich has started talking again about a balanced budget amendment. Is that even vaguely possible as part of a national agenda?
Well, I mean, it's certainly a great goal. And we did balance the budget under a Democratic president, Bill Clinton. We had a Republican Congress and a Democratic president. You know, we did.
Just like coming up.
Pardon me?
Just like coming up, we're going to have a Democratic president, a Republican Congress.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't think that Joe Biden is Bill Clinton. I mean, Bill Clinton was a pretty fiscally conservative guy. Don't forget that in 1996, he gave a very famous, you know, State of the Union address where he said the era of big government is over. I don't see in a million years Joe Biden saying that. But I want to make another point because I think it is so important. And I'd actually like your reaction to this, Michael, because it's a debatable point. But I wrote my weekly column on this week. We have spent somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 trillion to fight COVID. $5 trillion, not $5 billion, $5 trillion. Roughly a million people have died from COVID. We still don't really have it completely under control. And the question I would ask is, with all the lockdowns and all the massive amount of spending we spent shutting down the schools and shutting down our businesses and spending all this money, would we be any worse off today if we had simply said, let's people make it?
Many people own coins that have not performed as well as they had hoped they would, but markets change and you should get a new valuation. Maybe the coins have done better with current moves in precious metals, or maybe you want to do something else with that money. Let me tell you about my friend Nick Drovich. He's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion. For over 40 years, Nick has built a reputation for trust, honesty, and his goal is to earn your business for life. He won't push you to sell, but when you're ready, he offers the best prices, trades, and consignment deals in America. Right now, Nick and the AmFed team are offering their exclusive coin performance review totally free. Yes, totally free with a no-pressure guarantee from Nick. Go online at AmericanFederal.com or call 800-221-7694. That's AmericanFederal.com and 800-221-7694. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
If you think Washington State's headed in the right direction, well, then this message is not for you. But if you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically
hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes, and its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Washington State is our home, and it needs WPC more than ever. Get off the sidelines, become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Can stay with us for a little while longer because he was just in the midst of making a very provocative point. Yeah, and Steve, you can hear me now?
Sorry about that.
Are you telling folks that it sounded like, and God forbid this should be the case, that I was cutting you off and that I wasn't giving you the chance to make a provocative and controversial point. So let me finish. Let me have you finish on that, and then I'm going to try to give you a response, and maybe we can talk about it just in a little bit more depth. And what you were saying was that try to imagine that we hadn't spent this $5 trillion on COVID relief or anti-COVID-19 steps that have taken, and that includes federal, state, local, private charities, everything, right?
Yes.
Or is it?
So this is a real, it's an important point, Michael, so thank you for asking me about this. So my contention is, and I'd like your reaction to this, because it's a provocative point, but I'm pretty sure I'm right about this. That I was against lockdowns from the very start, just because I believe in freedom and liberty, and I don't think the government has the right to shut down businesses and schools and parks and stores and restaurants and to tell me I have to stay at home and those kinds of things. But so that's my kind of general political philosophy. But we now know pretty definitively. I mean, there's a series of very, very highly respected studies that have come out, looking at both across states and across countries. And what those studies show, again, pretty definitively, is that lockdowns had a very, very small positive effect. Very small, though. In other words,
I've seen that. I think they say it's 0.2% of the death rate.
And that's pretty small. So did lockdowns save some lives? Yeah. But
think of the cost, folks. Think of the cost to our freedoms. Think of the number of businesses that went bankrupt. Think of the fact that
Steve, I've got to stop you because I think this is misleading to people. Because a great deal of that spending, I don't know exactly how much, maybe you do, went to the development of the vaccines and to medicines. And without the vaccines and without some of the medicines that have come about and some of the treatments and some of the medical developments, which it's perfectly legitimate for government to spend money on, and government did under the Trump administration, that without that, there would be thousands, probably hundreds of thousands more people who died.
A fair point, and it's a good point. And in fact, I would say the one thing that government did right was development of the vaccine. So I'm totally with you on that one. Now, here's the important point, though. What Trump did with Operation Warp Speed was it was mostly a program that just got around all of the government regulations that take, you know, because the New York Times said it would take 3 or 4 years to develop a vaccine. Why? Because we've got so many hoops and barriers at the FDA to get any kind of new drug or vaccine out that it would have taken that long. And Trump basically said, no, we're going to go around these ridiculous regulations. We're going to get this done in 9 months. Nobody thought it was possible. And we did. It was actually kind of the private sector that really stepped up and got this thing done. So, but let's say $1 trillion of that $5 trillion went for vaccines. And that's probably a pretty good rough estimate. My point is, I believe that we would be much better off today if we had simply said, look, we are responsible people. We are free people. Businesses should make their own decisions about whether they want to shut down their doors. Families and individuals can make their decisions about whether they want to go outside or what they want to do. And I contend that our country would be better off today if that was the decision we have made.
Okay, I'm not at all sure, Steve. I think there are reasons to doubt that, because do you believe that, in other words, if you go through a major policy, I think there's certain kinds of lockdowns that have been shown to be ineffective. One of them is schools. And clearly the shutting down of schools, which has been promoted by special interests like the teachers' unions, has not compelled people. I mean, one of the nice things about choice in education is with choice in education, if you want to choose a school that is going to lock down and then try to replace it with in-person learning, you can do that. You can choose that. And if you want to go ahead and send your kids to school and take whatever enhanced risk you have by sending them to school, you can do that. But when you talk about things like restaurants and bars, and I know this, you can look beyond the United States. There is a very good reason to believe that in Italy, where they were having, you remember early in the pandemic, terrible mortality rates. Part of what brought that down and brought them away from the crisis was locking down some of the nightlife and the bunga bunga parties and Prime Minister Berlusconi. It worked. It got them away from the precipice, and most Italians would tell you that.
Yeah. So here's the thing. There was some it's a point well taken. And what I'm saying, though, is that at the beginning of the pandemic, we didn't know what we were dealing with, right? We just, you know, so it made sense for the first month or so to say, hey, we got to take remember, 4 weeks to flatten the curve or something like that. But then it was turned from 4 weeks to 4 months to 8 months to 12 months.
And then it was back and forth, and they couldn't get their story straight. And this, by the way, this did not come onto the scene with President Biden. It was both of the presidents who've been presidents during the pandemic. There was a very difficult time figuring out a consistent policy that worked. We now have Daniel Henninger, and this is one of the reasons I'm so sensitive for what you're saying. Yeah. I hope we're going to be speaking to him soon. He has a column today saying, time to forget about all of this, declare victory, and basically go back to normal life.
And I'm saying, Michael, that we should have let individuals make their own rational decisions about what to do. Now, some people would act irresponsibly. The other thing I would have done, and I said this from the beginning, I'm not Monday morning quarterbacking here. I said at the beginning the right policy, because it was clear pretty much from after the first month or two that there were various, that there were certain groups of people that were very vulnerable to this virus. Old people who were elderly and people who had respiratory or other health problems. And what I'm telling you, and I think I'm right about this, I may not be, you've got a lot of smart listeners, they might know better than I do. But if we had simply said, we are going to keep those people safe, we are going to sequester those people, we're going to keep them isolated so they don't get sick, and let healthy Americans get on with their lives, I don't think we would have had the massive economic problems.
Can I tell you something? And it's just something, it's human nature. Nobody thinks he or she is especially vulnerable. I mean, unless you're literally just coming out of the hospital. I talk about this with people who are over 70, right? Everybody over 70 is in perfect health, spectacular health. They're no higher risk to the virus. I don't think that's one of those things where you can really trust on people's judgment. One of the right now, 30% of Americans, and this is not an exaggeration, they just measured it, are considered obese. Yes. And obesity is a gigantic contributing factor to making people vulnerable. And
there's no question.
But there are very few people who actually say, oh, I'm obese and I'm comfortable with that. And people do. But it's one of those things, Stephen, where I think, it, as in most things, and you asked for my reaction.
Clearly
there was a lot that was done wrong. There was tremendous confusion and a desperate desire by politicians on both parties to try to say, oh, we're doing everything we can, we're doing everything we can. And some of that doing everything we can was flailing. But then again, there also was all this evidence of super spreader events that could be avoided. And I think all around the country right now, one of the things that makes a difference is we're kind of back to religious services with precautions. Are we not?
Yes. And here's where you and I disagree. And it's very seldom that you and I disagree. But my view is, look, I think that letting individuals make their own decisions is the right way to go. By the way, freedom means you have the right to make stupid decisions. Yes, you're absolutely
right. You don't have a right to put other people in danger. And I, frankly, it's one of those reasons that, for instance, I'm grateful that I can go to synagogue. Do I think that it is a big cost to require everybody to wear a mask, which our synagogue chooses to do? Or am I appreciative of the fact that places where we would go to get food, we don't eat out at a restaurant, but we do pick it up sometimes, that those places respect those rules? No, I think that's a positive thing, and we should...
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vine-to-bar.com. That's vinetobar.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's vine-to-bar. Vine-to-bar chocolate. Visit us at vine-to-bar.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.